Is that your book?
It's a book. That's a nasty question.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, kicking the can down the street since 2015. Horns up for some ice cream, bitches.
Woke up on the edge of a new buzz, half-cocked and I'm dying of boredom. Took a hit to find out what it does, I do it just because. Wired like a wolf in a hen house, let's double the dose and get down. Say what, say you're up and I'll come round, always on the run. Cause I can't tell you.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined, as always, with the bicuspid LC. How are you this morning?
I am excellent. I feel slightly lighter from my recent dentist visit, if that's what you're asking.
I am, and before we get into that, I do have, yesterday was the International Day of Slayer. How did you celebrate?
By not having any melody around me.
That's not on the list of officially sanctioned methods of celebration for International Slayer Day. Would you like to hear the list?
I would, yes.
Yeah, you can either listen to Slayer at full blast in your car, listen to Slayer at full blast in your home, listen to Slayer at full blast at your place of employment, or listen to Slayer at full blast in any public place you prefer. So those are the ways to celebrate the International Day of Slayer. I listened to Slayer yesterday at a very low volume. The wife and I went down to the view some of the carnage and the George Floyd kind of memorial shit. So I didn't think it was appropriate to roll the windows down and blast some rain and blood at that point. But
probably not. Yeah, no.
But anyway,
understood.
I'll give myself a D minus for this year's International Slayer Day of Slayer celebration. You get a flat F though, man.
Well, I also didn't wash my beard for 4 or 5 months.
Oh, well, that counts.
Right?
That'll give you a D minus too.
Mm-hmm.
Bump you up to a passing grade. You're used to those.
Fair enough.
That's what got you through Purdue.
Damn straight. D minus.
Well, hey, I understand that you're one tooth less than you were last we spoke.
I am, and I know
right
you were
in front.
Hoping...
I see.
I was saying, I can't wait for some kind of artwork with somebody erasing one of my front teeth here soon.
Did you have a loose tooth?
Heyo, that's right. You know, they say that Hard Rock fans have terrible dental hygiene.
Yeah. I know, right?
It's a stereotype. But going into that real quick.
You know, I've never had a cavity.
That's what I was going to ask you was basically, if you're going to take a poll of who has better teeth on the Cobra show, who's brushed their teeth better over the years, I wonder what people would say. Would they think that I was cleaner or you're cleaner? Maybe we should do a poll before just to see what the results are, and then that boom, it's revealed. But I still can't believe you have no cavities at your age. I mean, the fact that you've made it to 52 years old and no cavities is pretty impressive, don't you think?
Yeah, but you know, I'm also like coming down with arthritis, so yeah, that kind of offsets it, I think, you know.
I was actually quite cavity free up to about the last couple of years, and everything's pretty much falling apart. Just like you say, I like to steer right in the skid. That's what I'm doing. I've done that with my mouth too.
With everything in life, man. Here's an avoidable situation, a correctable habit. Not gonna do a damn thing about it.
I threw my toothbrush away years ago. I was like, now I'm just gonna go right straight down.
You got in, and what did they just yank it out?
Well, I got in there. I had my back molar or whatever was hurting, and I got in there, and they basically sat down. And first off, you know, you're there. You're like, they go, listen, here's your choices. We can do a root canal. But your insurance doesn't cover it, and it's going to cost you $3,000. Or we can yank that fucker out, and it's free. And they go, but listen, this is a big decision, so why don't you think about it? Maybe we can reschedule. Think about it. Da 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 da. And I go, wait, You just take it out, just take care of it. It's like, it's my back tooth. What do I need that
it's
for?
It's the pinky toe of teeth.
Yeah, it's just the back one or something like that.
It's like an appendix. Like, just get it out of there.
And I go, excellent. If you do all this root canal, is there still a chance that they're still – he's like, yeah. And they do the thing, like, they're right where the cavity is around the gum line. I said, okay. You know what? I don't know when I'm going to be able to get back in here because it's post-COVID. I'm in a doctor. This hurts like hell. It's free and it gets rid of the pain. Go to it, doc. And during this process, I got to tell you, when I heard him go, uh-oh, a few times during this, and I heard it crunching, and if you ever, this will persuade, this is a PSA. I'm full of advice for the public. Brush your motherfucking teeth. Mm. Because this one on the back, when they take a tooth out, for anybody that doesn't have it, they wiggle it back and forth and back and forth, and they dope you up. And all of a sudden, what you hear is cracking of bone. You hear... And guess what? It took two chunks of take that thing out. He's like, I have still some left. They were at me for like an hour and a half yanking that thing out.
Your head's
with
just,
pliers.
They got a big plier. Your head's being whipped around. They got a
yeah. I felt like that scene in Hangover or whatever. You know what I mean? God. Like they got the wrench, and that's what it is. It doesn't matter what kind of technology it is. When it comes down to it, they take a wrench and just get in there. So. Anyway, it still hurts like hell.
You just got a channel lock, just hanging over your mouth with a channel lock, their foot on the chair.
That's right. He just takes needle nose pliers.
It actually smells like car oil.
Oh, God. But after it's all said and done, then they have to take stitches. So they're in there to put your gum back together. They're putting threading you up with a needle and thread and everything. I'm like, this is so prehistoric. And the whole time, like halfway through, I'm like, can I just give you $3,000 and you put my tooth back? It was bad. Anyway, so I suggest brush your teeth. And yes, I have the worst – the for those that didn't – wouldn't think so, I have worse teeth than you do. Mm. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's maybe less healthy. I got a little bit of a gap here in the front that is starting to spread. So –
I was just pulling a tooth out then.
My head just keeps getting bigger is all I'm getting at. The teeth stay the same size. But well, so were you on a liquid diet then for a little bit?
For like a day or two, you'd basically have to eat like a savage out of this side of the mouth, you know, like like that. You make sure. And the great thing about not having this tooth in the back, by the way, I'm going to eventually get
a fake
implant or whatever in the back, like a faker in the back, because what happens, which you don't think about too, where you're like, hey, this tooth in the back, it's like you say, it's the pinky toe. Guess what? There's all kinds of shit that sits back there, like stuck. Like I'll brush my teeth, I'm like, oh, there was yesterday's lunch. Like just like here's a piece of meat from last Tuesday that just sticks in this.
Just leave it in there,
chunk.
And it kind of works as a new tooth. You don't have to get that back.
Just pile up stuff. Just stick a couple pebbles back there.
Pack
it
in. Yeah. Quite a job, dude. I mean, to me, it's kind of obnoxious that they call themselves doctors. They're basically just, you know, their schooling is no different than a mechanic.
Who decides that? Like, you know what I want to do for a job is I want to look into people's, get right up in people's business every day and just smell bad breath all day.
People who flunked out of chiropractor school?
Oh, God. Or a podiatrist? They're like, fuck it. Feet? It's feet or teeth. I'm going all in. What a terrible thing. Nobody likes going to the dentist, not even the dentist. It's like the Peter Criss of occupations.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of dentist costumes at Halloween, do you?
No, because nobody – that's the worst-selling costume. I mean, it's that and the proctologist costume for – you know what I mean? Like gynecologist is great, but I mean – but think about it. Proctologist and dentist, it's the same thing. You're getting close to something that stinks. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
This concludes the dental portion of this show. How are you on your end now that I'm done talking about my mouth?
You know, all is well still, so no updates.
Excellent.
You're a hurricane, a story to tell. The roar of a lion. Yeah!
we actually going to, on our rock talk music show, we're going to talk a lot of music today.
Yeah, you know what? I've given you a little credit over the years for being someone that helped me kind of let go of personal property I've amassed over the years, you know.
Ooh,
while I haven't done the complete house burning purge, I have gotten rid of at least a half a tub of Kiss stuff since you and I first started talking about this stuff. And it wasn't easy, but it was the right thing to do.
I would love to see a chart of Kiss tubs like, in like a year, just a slow graph of tubs decreasing.
Oh, man. Yeah, actually, a friend of ours, Matt Porter from the Kiss Room, I had a bunch of stuff I went through just recently that I purged that it was stuff that was might be neat for a collector to go through, but not a lot of value. Like, it wasn't probably worth the effort of trying to resell this stuff on eBay.
Sure.
So I just threw it all in a box and shipped it to Matt Porter without telling him.
You didn't.
Yeah, I absolutely did. I left a note on top, and I was like, hopefully I didn't just UPS you a box of garbage, but I thought you might actually like going through some of this stuff. But yeah, it was like newspaper clippings, show reviews, some Kiss fanzines from back in the day.
But did he already get it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He ended up messaging me and thanked me for it. So,
it
was excellent. Well, there was a couple old Rolling Stones that had some, like, record reviews in there. But, you know, so, I mean, like I said, not stuff I could really get a whole lot of money for. But I figured, you know what, I actually thought he would enjoy it, and it turns out he did. But where I'm going with this is that you seem to be taking a little bit of the opposite influence from me. You have recently started your own Kiss Room. have just gone on this kind of big splurge of vinyl. Would you like to get into some of your more recent music purchases? This is kind of what I was trying to set you up for. But also how is this being received at home? Like, you know, honey, where are we going to put all this stuff? You know, you're a guy who doesn't like to have a JPEG or three in a file on his computer too long. He has to get rid of it because it takes up too much space. So what are you doing with all this vinyl you've been buying?
Well, first off, the whole COVID thing has definitely made you think I need to buy some things that I really don't need because I'm bored or whatever it is. And you just want some like little bit of joy showing up from a purchasing. There is some kind of like thing about that collecting.
On that note specifically, no joke, my alley neighbor bought a suit of armor.
I haven't gotten that crazy.
And he's just walking around in the yard a couple weeks ago with it. And I'm like, and he got it from fucking Amazon too, of course.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
That's when you know you're like, finally, I'm going full suit.
Oh, he's going batshit crazy, by the way. He cannot wait for the fucking bars to open. Oh, man.
I bet. Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, we can get into that later, but what do you do if you have a gambling addiction right now, right? There's no casinos. There's no sports to bet on. Are you just down the street saying
scratchers.
Like that old lady? No, you're like on your porch and you're betting with your buddies that old lady is going to beat the other lady across the street or something like that for races. I mean, what do you do? But anyway, going to my stuff, like, you know, what happens is sometimes people send me links, and I'm a part of this thing called I am Vinyl Group.
Really?
People,
I've never heard of that.
Yes. It's.
I love
it's,
how you just set that up, you prick.
What do you mean?
Are you a part of that group? Yeah.
Hold on.
And somebody sent you a message. I don't know if you happened to notice, but there was other people on that message as well. Jesus fuck.
Anyway, so I get I'm concentrating on what's important, which is me.
Yeah,
okay?
Of course.
So anyway, so I got a message from the I Am Vinyl group member. One of the I Am Vinyl group members, Joey Haney, and it basically has a sale on, hey, there's a Van Halen box set of 45s from Japan of all their singles. You know, of the Roth era, and it's $37. It's usually $150. So I go down this rabbit hole. I end up spending like $130, $140 of various stuff, which I'll break down real quick. But not until that day did I ever think I need 45s from anybody.
I couldn't believe that you bought this. You have a hard time listening to a full album and having to go pick up the needle. My Lord, you're just going to stand in front of your turntable and wait for Pretty Woman to get over, then pick it up and then flip it over. You're never going to walk away, man. You're going to be Craig Smith close to your turntable the entire time.
Motherfucker.
Oh, my God. Yeah, for that alone is the most exhausting purchase I've ever bought. Because, I mean, you got Van Halen, you got, what, maybe 4 minutes at max? So you have to be back on that shit and
if
fix
you're
it.
Lucky.
But even to F with people, some of these singles, it is definitely a cool package if you get it as far as the just the artwork and the finding out what the B-sides was. Okay, Pretty Woman, by the way, the B-side is Happy Fucking Trails. So not only the, why would you pick that? It's a 1 minute bullshit song that's on Diver Down. That's even messing with you more. It's like, hey, you want to flip this over? Get ready. You're going to have to take this needle up in about 45 seconds.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm buying this, and it wasn't until it showed up that I was like, what am I doing? I purchased because everything, there's a price point when you just say, fuck it, I'll get it. And that was $8 vinyl for no reason. I bought Slippery When Wet. I bought Sublime's Greatest Hits. Hey, because it looks like a matchbook is the packaging. That must be pretty cool. Why did I do that? I got the entire band of Kiss in those pop rock things or whatever you call them. What, is that what it's called? Pop rock?
Funko Pops.
Funko Pops. I have the whole band because those were $5 each. By the way, some of them were more. Like Paul Stanley's got to be pissed the fact that he was $5 and Peter Criss was $10 on
really?
Yeah. So they
opened. I thought they were all Paul 5, Stanley's. But whatever.
No. But
I got them when they first came out, so I paid full price like a sucker.
Yeah. For $8, I got Destroyer. I got Rock and Roll Over. I got Mick Jagger's Wandering Spirit album, which I actually do like, but why the fuck do I have a vinyl of Mick Jagger with his shirt off on my collection? But I bought the Donna's album. I've probably spent close to $400 to $500. Well, I'll say $400 in the last month or two on just stuff. But I understand the addiction now, man.
Really? Because you've had it for a couple weeks. I kind of assumed that about three quarters of this has been repacked and ready to be returned.
No, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the process. I'm enjoying the ritual. I can't look. But that I tell you, if you are a music fan, don't join the I Am Vinyl group because you will start spending. Because if you're on a budget, because now I have We've Come From For You All Anthrax on the way because it's a double disc. I love that album. Didn't even know it existed. I love the artwork. That's my whole thing about it, is if the artwork kicks ass and I like the album, I'll probably buy it. You know what I mean?
No, they're very cool to open. I still enjoy opening a record. It's very similar to you know, even when I was a kid, when it was the only medium. But compared to opening a new CD, it is, you know, a much more pleasurable experience. It even seems to smell a little better. But I got a couple things. I'll tell you this. One, if you're a noob, you might spend a lot of money. You know, someone like yourself. But I have tons of self-control. I always use Record Store Today to, like, overindulge, typically.
Sure.
I shouldn't say I use it. That's the day that I'll go out with the idea I'm not going to get anything, and I'll spend, like, you know, $150, $200, and then I'll feel shame, and, like, I wronged my family. We can't eat now, because I have, like you said, Slippery When Wet on vinyl.
That's right. Which, by the way, sounds great.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, I went back to that and I was like, there's a reason this fucking album sold 20 million copies.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is stacked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's legit. It's a legit great timepiece.
Three songs deep, then it's nothing. That's my LC impersonation there of every record review. That's why you stopped writing for Decibel Geek, right? Because that's really all you could come up with after every listen. Like,
which is what?
Out of three, maybe four songs here. That's it. That ended up being your whole review all the time.
Pretty much.
Well, I picked up a couple things recently, but not to the amount of shelf space that you've now taken up. I picked up, I don't know if you heard of the band Scorpion Child?
Yes.
Okay.
I
found a copy of their record stores here have reopened, by the way.
They let you do like pickup or some bullshit here.
No,
you can wander around and do it as of
June 1st, I think it was.
That's good.
Now there's capacity issues, but most actual record stores, other than Record Store Day, probably don't exceed that most moments of the day. But yeah, so I found their second record. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the title, but it's a double disc colored vinyl thing there, so I picked that up. And then, I don't know, on a random message exchange between Joey Haney and I decided I needed the Foo Fighters' Sonic Highways on vinyl, so I bought that as well. I haven't actually sat down and spun either one. I've had them for over a week now, but I'll get to it.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that, like, for the vinyl, it took me a while to even listen. I haven't even listened to the Kiss ones yet. Like, I bought them because there is something that still legitimizes getting the vinyl because, you know, people... Music is art, you know, and I really think that it's for the price, even though you're paying sometimes $20-$30 or whatever for some of these albums, that this is a piece of art and you can listen to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people put this stuff on the wall, and when these packages are put together so well, Yeah, I think that is what I'm doing, is I'm going back and trying to get that feeling from when I was, you know, 13 or 14 years old, getting collecting stuff a little bit. So it's fun, and I don't think it's too crazy for the cost.
And because he only listens to the show, so we say his name, I'll let him duck out of this episode quick. Craig Smith, now, as you know, I have gone record shopping with him. And, yeah, he makes us both look like amateurs with the...
Oh, of course.
Honestly, he must make a lot of money, because I'm like, Jesus. I mean, and he had to fly home with 40 pounds of vinyl that you went bought at three stores. So, anyway.
Well, of course. Now, I'm just not, if you know that recliner, he actually sold it, and he just has a lawn chair in that room now to pay for some a German pressing of the Monkees' greatest hits or something.
I can proudly say I got a virtual tour of his Craig pad. We were probably a little wrong.
Oh, excellent!
It's much bigger than we described. I think he would like it if we cleared the air, but
yeah. Well, my whole thing is, it doesn't matter how big your place is or how nice it is. If everything is Murphy, there's even more room.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, everything's in the wall, baby. By almost anybody's estimation, has been a pretty much a dumpster fire of a year. You know, it started with kind of the COVID stuff coming and hitting us in March. The Murder Hornets came along in April, and then in and then of course in May, all the stuff with the George Floyd and how that all blew up into pretty much a nationwide issue. For anybody playing at home, if you had Tommy Lee release his new music for June, you have won. He's officially ruined the month of June by releasing two brand new songs from his forthcoming solo album.
That is how it goes, doesn't it? It goes COVID, riots.
They go COVID, Murder Hornets, riots, Tommy Lee's new music.
It doesn't suck.
Yes, it does. Things couldn't get worse, is what I was saying during the riots. You know, while I was looting an AutoZone.
Of course.
Thank God I have no identifiable neck tattoos. They're never going to find me on security footage. Yeah.
Give me a break. You can never have enough you can never have enough washer fluid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's all I grabbed.
Yeah, just grab the
five
cheap
gallons
shit.
Of blue juice.
Blue juice. That guy has
streets.
Just watch out.
A blaze of fire behind me.
Clean windshields until 2025, bitch.
All right, but yeah, back to I'd rather talk about Window Cleaner than Tommy Lee's new songs. My God, his bar was already pretty low as far as what you would expect.
Yeah,
and he shattered it. Like, you've heard of the glass ceiling, he's got the glass basement, and it got lower. So
it
Jesus,
did. It did. I don't even know how to. Maybe your impressions first, and then I can kind of summarize if you'd like.
Well, if you didn't tell me it was a Tommy Lee track, I'd have no fucking reason to know it was him. He's really, other than when he comes in and goes, oh, blah, 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 whatever he screams there. But again, it's not like, oh, that's Tommy's signature thing. You know, it's fucking, it's not even, it's more techno. And I know he's gotten into all that kind of DJ stuff, so that's not terribly surprising. But a lot of that techno stuff actually is not the heaviest beats that you can get. They're kind of stuff. So
right.
I don't know. There's one with a girl rapping and singing called what's her? The song is called Push Push. No, that's the rapper's name. Sorry, Push Push is the female rapper, and the other one has a song called So that song is called Tops, featuring Push Push, and then Knockdown is a track that features something called Kilvane. So yeah, I'm probably showing my hip hop cred by having no idea who either one of these people are. The second one is probably a little more rock, but yeah, they both fucking suck balls pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he randomly had somebody over to his house and they were playing some other music, and he said, "Shit, man, I'll put my name on this." You know what I mean? Do it banana style. And that's it. There's no, you would never know. Like I'm saying, if it wasn't for the video, I mean, they got the girl rapper, all this stuff like that. I'm like, what is this? It is so bad. I don't even, maybe we should just play a little sample of, just pick any little chunk out of these two masterpieces that he put out.
I don't speak, I toss sparks. So devastatingly disastrous. It's almost hard to watch it move so fast. It's hard to keep up. You don't have to keep up. You just found a keeper. When your girl met me, she figured you'd leave her. It's out of your control. What happens next? What happens next is out of your control. To your left, can you hear my heart bursting up my chest? Is it just me or is it something I could grab hold of? Hold up, my soul's up for sale. I'm golden. A textbook told me that I was disgusting. Fuck a textbook. I'm revolting.
I mean, you got to realize this is actually what he's doing as a result of not touring. So there you go.
Yeah,
this is COVID's fault.
Well, his wife happens to be on the line. Let me just ask her real quick. Hey, Mrs. Tommy Lee, what did you think of these songs when you heard them?
This is bananas.
You know what I think? I think we can better those songs and just add the bananas clip on top of them over and over again. That would be a better song. Imagine if that was that. If it was just a mix, if we put out a mix that said this is a new Tommy Lee song, it's just... How about it's just a beat and then just any random dialogue from that podcast would be better.
I think anything. So too. Yeah, I think actually silence. I could make a really tasteful joke, but I won't. Or tasteless joke, I should say. Do you think this is playing or getting on a regular rotation on the CGCM's brand new radio network?
It's a CGOPP, you know me.
So the boys were teasing a big announcement, and I was expecting them to say something like they were moving to America, you know, a real country.
Stand on America's hat.
Although right now, I would advise against it. But no, their big announcement was that they're going to a full 24 hours a day a radio station. I don't know if that means no more podcast because I didn't listen to the announcement. But you can go to their website cgcm.com. I know it's available on Radio 365. I actually have a live feed. I thought it'd be kind of fun to kind of dial, like, just let me turn up the volume here. We'll see what they're playing right now.
Good. Oh, yeah. Finally, I've been waiting to hear that song on the radio.
Yeah, you're not going to hear that on local radio.
You
anyway,
are not.
Maybe we tune in just a little bit later in the show and see what they're playing there, so.
Sure. Yeah, I'm also announcing today that I'm starting my own radio station, which is I'm just going to start playing all my Spotify playlists on an RSS feed and call it LC 24/7. No tooth, no problem.
Hey, all right. So where can people
find it? I have to come up with the acronym for that, though, first. So LC 24/7 CG, no NT for no teeth, NP, no problem. That is the station. Write it down. Easy to remember. Remember that. The acronyms are great in Canada, so it should be do quite well.
And is your mascot an otter?
Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? I think the world was hoping to get 24/7 Wally Gator and Rich Dillon.
Yeah.
What do you think? The Meister, 24/7. more thing about Tommy Lee, though, is, you know, they say that one of the positives of COVID is you have a lot of these artists that will have time to use some of their creativity and put out music, and then you have Tommy Lee.
He is the exception that proves the rule.
Bananas.
But continue. Any other related news?
Yeah, well, Tommy Lee is, of course, a drummer for Bang Tango. And,
yes.
Facts, people. Yeah, Motley Crue and Def Leppard have officially postponed the stadium tour. Hey, by the way, just real quick, what do you think is a worse tour name or least inventive? When Motley Crue and Kiss toured and they called it the tour, or this one where they call it the stadium tour?
They both are very uncreative. I think that all tours should just specify what's already set implied
yeah.
by the venue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just like the casino tour.
Yeah.
The
child support tour.
The state fair tour. Yeah.
The my house has been foreclosed on tour.
The rock stars don't have IRAs, so you'll see us again this summer tour.
Hey, that has a ring to it.
You like that?
Yeah. Okay. I want that on the back of a fucking t-shirt.
Oh,
the list of tour
exactly.
dates that don't include my city. So, yeah, this postponement is kind of shitty, if you ask me. To back it up a little bit, we talked a little about this when it first went on sale. So many of these tickets were bought by, you know, secondary ticket sites hoping to cash in on this thing. And
yep.
Nobody's obviously buying fucking things for these dates, you know, with everything that's going on. Everything's getting canceled. What moron is going, hey, they're going to be here in 3 weeks. Should we look for tickets? No. So, you know, all these fucking ticket brokers are sitting on these fucking basically money pits. And if Ticketmaster is making it harder to get a refund on a postponed show, you know it's got to be damn near impossible to get one from StubHub or Ticket King or all those fucking places, Vivid Seats, SeatGeek,
yeah.
all those fucking shady pieces of shit.
Oh, yeah. Now, if I could, can I talk about the postponement versus cancel?
Yep, get into it, man.
General. Okay. So, again, we are not lawyers. We are not ticket brokers or anything like that. But
I am
I
a doctor, though. Just got my
yes,
dentist license yesterday.
Oh, good. Good. I have one more tooth I need you to take out.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't think I need it.
Okay.
But the thing is that I do know that basically John Bon Jovi of Bon Jovi fame made basically a press release saying, listen, man, I am 100% canceling our summer tour so that everybody can get refunds and things
yep.
of that nature. So there's no bullshit. We'll call it a completely different tour or something like that next year. It's
yep.
not a postponement. It's a cancellation. Now, I'm not sure if this is across the board, but I do know that basically within the legalese of all these different ticket brokers and Ticketmaster, that if you say something is postponed, you have less recourse to get a refund because that event is eventually going to happen.
Yeah,
you know
I mean, they've clearly taken advantage of that loophole by changing their own refund policy based on events that have been shut down because of COVID.
Right.
With
now,
that distinction.
And you may be able to get a refund from Ticketmaster, for example, or Live Nation, if on a postponement based on whatever. They may, based on case, but when it gets down to the next level, I think postponements are more and more difficult to get a proper refund in a timely manner unless you 100% cancel the event. And I'll just go into one other thing about that. And obviously, the reason they're postponing is I think that means the artist gets to hold on to a chunk of that cash.
Yeah.
And then another
That's
person gets to
it.
Have... And it has to do with all these different things where there's this bunch of money sitting somewhere that they want to hold on to because it's hard to give everybody refunds. And I get that part. But to postpone a tour, anybody that's doing – it's just that Motley Crue is not the only guilty party. Like I think Weezer also
postponed.
Yeah,
there's more postponements and cancellations. Yeah.
Correct. So and in that regard – I say, fuck it. We're not calling it stadium tour. All these tours should be renamed Kick the Can Tour.
Yeah.
Okay? Because that's all they're doing.
Kicking it down the street.
They're kicking it down the street. And you know what? Next year it's going to be – I don't think that anybody – I think this is the greatest scam of all time, if I could. And that is Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett. They never planned on ever touring. They planned on a complete – disaster happening where they take people's money, and I would say that next year we're going to get a postponement to 2022. People, they actually are doing this because they are honoring their cessation of touring contract by actually never touring, just taking your money one more time. What do you
yeah.
think about that?
That is, you know what, I think there are some videos surfacing, some satellite videos that show Joan mm-hmm. Jett in Wuhan, you know, around the time this tour was announced. Ooh. So, you know, coming out of some Bill Gates' lab.
Exactly.
Holding vials and then slamming them in the street and then, you know, singing Reputation and running down the out of there. So
I don't know. All I can tell you is that I think that they are actually evil geniuses. Mm-hmm. You will never see Motley Crue tour.
I think that's a fantastic theory, and frankly, I'm rooting for it. That's what I want to be true. I'll go with something a little more nefarious and a little easier to piece together as far as the dots, and that is because 90% of these tickets were sold to robots.
I don't have a friend
who planned on selling them to humans at an inflated price. I think, you know, those companies, there's probably written in those things like you're basically treating a ticket like a commodity. You take the risk. In other words, this is on you. That, right. You know, because that's why when a show comes and it's not selling well, they'll slash prices and just try to get what they can out of it. With right. this cancellation, I think like all of a sudden they realize everybody's fucked if this comes out, that this is how it worked out. And that's my theory.
I know, but I'll also go one step further with the whole thing about the majority of these tickets were sold to robots. Is I think we're going to have a robot uprising. And these robots are finally going to get off their ass and fucking start rioting for all these tickets that these shows are never gonna have. This is Judgment Day.
Oh man, what's the go-to store to loot for a robot?
Is there a three sides of the coin store retail outlet?
Yeah, robots are rioting. They've fucking taken down the three sides of the coin merch market.
It's Michael nothing
Branvold's apartment is just smoldering ash. With everybody out alive, by the way. I don't want to wish too negative there.
The most popular merch item at the Three Sides Coin retail outlet is the Ted Nugent If You Can't Lick 'Em Tour t-shirt.
Previously worn.
Previously sweating.
Oh, my God. They all come in one size mankini.
That's right.
Well, let's see what does happening over on CGCM 365 radio here.
Oh yeah, let's tune in.
Well, here we go, folks, singing along. Roll out the barrel. We'll have a barrel of fun. Roll out the barrel. We've got those blues on the run.
Boy, that's a long song. Anyway, let's play some music of our own here. I hear you have a special guest lined up to intro the next track.
I do. I felt he was the proper man to introduce this band, and that is the great from Decibel Geek, talk show host and personality and wrestling aficionado, Aaron Camaro.
My name is Aaron Camaro from the Decibel Geek podcast. I'm really excited to bring you this wiki read because it is involving one of my all-time favorite bands, Local H. So let's get to the Wikipedia, which I find to be an awesome research tool that you can never go wrong because it's always right. And let's see what they've got to say about Local H. Local H is an American rock band formed in Zion, Illinois in 1990 by drummer Joe Daniels, bassist Cram Jansen, lead guitarist Johnny Sparkles, and rhythm guitarist Scott Lucas. One of Local H's first shows as a band occurred in April of 1990 at Fritz's Schnitzel Emporium during the JC-sponsored Bratwurst Days in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. This is the infamous show where Scott was bitten by a radioactive badger while reloading their gear after the performance. Within weeks of the incident, Lucas would discover that his body was changing. Not only had his chest and arm hair doubled in thickness, he found he could now write flawless rock music. Local H has released 9 studio albums, all of which have gone to number 1 in virtually every country on earth. In 1996, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame went against their own criteria of making an artist wait 25 years before being eligible to induct Local H. To this day, this amendment has never been afforded to any other artist. In 2017, Metallica opened several shows for Local H when a poll was held where fans could vote for local favorite bands to open select dates for the Local H tour. Local H continues to capture the imaginations of people all over Earth and are widely regarded as one of the most important musical acts of all time, on par with the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, and Kiss. Lifers is their critically acclaimed ninth studio album, released on April 10th, 2020. Its release coincides with the 30th anniversary of that fateful night in Sheboygan. My name is Aaron Camaro, reminding you, if you read it on the internet, it must be true. I present now, for your listening enjoyment, a song written especially for this show, Cobras in Fire. What an honor it must be. It's Local H with Valley of Snakes.
Started this show, it always been my dream, much like Aaron Camaro's, to be a game show host, that for me to be a meme. What about you?
It's definitely been a life goal, and it's been happening more lately. I think one of the first ones that I recall, I think it was Bill Elam did the one with Kermit the Frog. Sometimes I wonder, what are Luz and Baco doing right now?
And just staring out to a rainy day and just wondering in deep thought. And I thought, this is wonderful. I mean, this is basically, this is a life-changing event for me, you know, to be thought of this way by our fans. It's quite an honor.
Agreed.
Yes.
But we've had a kind of a rash this last couple of weeks. A couple from Pods and Sods host Eric Miller. the first one he did was, and I can't believe I have Chewbacco is what he called it. It was me as Chewbacca. I have come up with little puns for my name for 20, 30 years now.
That was right there.
Yeah, it's like, how did this one get missed? So, yeah, now when I'm applying for a bogus email account to extend my Netflix free trial, I can use Chewbacco@gmail.com for one of them. But
I think you should write that on your next time you have to apply for a loan or something like that. That's your signature.
I've already used up Apocalypse Now and Tobacco. So now,
anyway. I knew about the Tobacco, but not the other one. But the other one, if I could, is also a new radio, is also the name of the radio station. It's LC3PO.
I almost felt like he's like, shit, I should probably do one for him too. And LC3PO.
We did that long time ago on the show, by the way, when I gave you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that one's actually has been, I've said that at least once, but I don't know what program they're using, some Star Wars generator thing.
You can
add the faces. You can add the faces like to see me with like a yellow metal face and some shitty smirk of mine. I said, it's an honor, and you is a big hairy beast. It looks like that was basically what you looked like during COVID up to about a week ago, right?
Yeah, I was just starting to be able to get, you know, sleep during the night from all the riot activity in the Twin Cities here had settled down, and then I see this, and I have not slept well since. Both of them were disturbing, but mine was kind of creepy.
Yeah, yours is they're great, but there's more memes, and but wait, there's more. If yes, you want to check yeah. out, go check out. I think it's only in our private group. So
yep,
if you're
Cobra's
a fan
on
of the
fire.
Show, if you're a fan of the show, just go to Facebook, go to our Cobras and Fire Facebook page, and if you're not part of it, ask to become a member of the Cobras on Fire private group. Continue, please.
Okay, so there's been a couple more this week. I think it was Toomey shared one that was, and Toomey, I don't know if he made this, I assume he did, but yeah, it's a meme that says, so badass when people are pictured walking away from things they just destroyed. And so it's got four images. It's got Iron Man walking away from some of the destruction. I think it's John Wick, is that right? Keanu Reeves
yep.
in something. And then the Joker, of course, walking away. And then it's LC walking away from a witch restroom. So
yeah, I've got a nice belly on
it
me,
should
too.
Be a woman's room. So
by the way,
he made a second one.
That's right. I haven't seen that one. I just know that they put my head on top of some guy that looks like a jander with a loose belt and a gut. It's a good look.
Oh, my God.
And you have one even more spectacular.
Yeah, you want to get into that one?
Please. Yeah, it's a beautiful picture of Baco doing Baco shit. And he is walking around with I believe a Tiger King jockstrap, nothing else, a helmet. Like an Evel Knievel helmet, some nice glasses, and some high heel red shoes. Well,
clogs
just,
of some sort. Yeah.
Clogs. Just everything is burning in the background. So I'm enjoying that one too, especially, that I got to tell you, it looks like you're definitely working out. So I'm impressed.
Oh, man. This meme has been going around with the headline, if 2020 was an album cover.
Oh, is that what? Okay.
And so someone,
I love
so
that
yeah,
picture.
Gene Vogel was kind enough to doctor it up to say Baco doing Baco shit. But I love Sean. Did you see Sean Cullen's comment?
No, go ahead.
He said the most Bacoing that Baco could have ever Bacoed.
So. I believe so.
My name is now, is that a verb or an adjective?
I don't know, but all you're doing is just feeding our ego.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, it's just. Jesus. My Lord, yeah, my
Bring
wife
it.
Already thinks I'm unbearable, so.
That's right.
Wait till now,
See, honey,
baby.
Listen, honey, is there anybody online making these kind of images, spending their time photoshopping your head on something?
Exactly.
No.
Yeah.
Goddamn right.
Get back to me when you have a meme.
We are internet famous.
Yeah. I used to hypothesize that about 5-10 years ago, that I was probably the 10 millionth most famous person on the planet.
Right.
And I thought that was fairly modest. You know, I say it to my wife. She's like, God, you're fucking smug. You just think you're 10 millionth. I'm not an A-lister. I'm like a Z-lister.
No. Yeah, exactly.
That's
now you're
bragging.
A Y-lister. You're working way up the alphabet.
So, yeah, thank you to everybody. Feel free to have fun at our expense. I don't care.
Please.
It's all part of fun. And, yeah, of course, come join the group if you haven't yet. It's a lot of listeners and us just having fun. We interact and just show topics, music stuff, that kind of crap. But it's all the typical nonsense that you would think we would have. So, and thank
sure.
you to the Eric Miller, Gene Vogel, and, of course, friend of the show, Josh Toomey, for I guess they're all friends of the shows, but... Anyway, keep it up. And Bill Elam.
Yeah, please. I mean, we have a great sense of humor ourselves. If we don't like it, we'll just ban you from the group and pull your show down.
Das in Luft.
You know, earlier I was talking about my passion for vinyl and our passion for music in general. You know, anytime, you know, we are very creative types and
very much so.
And very much so. We're artists of a certain caliber. And it's always great to see, I think, anybody that brings something unique to the world and pretty much goes all in for it, which shows their passion for whatever it is. And
agreed.
I think that you have a more like a local Minnesota story, a little local flavor that you'd like to share with the audience.
Yeah, and if I could actually go back a little bit.
Sure.
This was shared by myself and my wife on Facebook, as well as Gene Vogel in the Facebook group. So I really appreciated it when 4 days later you private messaged me this story and said the exact quote I used when I put it on my page. It just said hero. And like, you know, which is, you know, kind of your go-to thing. And then you we have
sure.
these arguments where I'm like, bullshit. I haven't been on Facebook. I have, you know.
Listen, everything on the show you came up with and you created. Okay?
Oh.
Let's just do that.
I'll just cut and paste. Yeah. I like how you like turn it into that. Like, just common courtesy is what I'm talking about. It's not like I created this thing. You know, when
right.
you share somebody's meme from their page, you're acknowledging, hey, you made me chuckle. I'm going
right.
to share it from you. You're the guy that you download it and then you repost it as your own. You are Fuck Jerry. That's what you are.
No, I am. I'll tell you who I am. I am somebody that just, listen, I'm just going to say right now, you are the creative force behind this show. everything on this show has been one of your ideas. It's just that I own 51% of it.
Oh, we're going back to that well. All right. Anyway, yeah.
Ampersand. I have the ampersand. Go ahead.
Yeah, a local hero, Matt Peterson here. He lives in Northeast Minneapolis. And what we're talking about, of course, is the death metal ice cream truck. this was a story pretty much written for the two of us, though. So
if this was a Canadian one, it would be called the DMICT.
Would you like to explain that anagram?
Death metal ice cream truck.
Okay.
It flows off the tongue, just like CGMP. Fuck. I give up.
It really does flow off the tongue, though.
Yeah.
Being local, I actually reached out to Matt, owner of the Hell General, is what it's called. But before I get into that, let's break down the story a little bit. And this has been picked up by, you know, not just locally, but basically internationally. He's been on a few other podcasts, it turns out.
Really?
Yeah. And I found the story today on MSN. So, I mean, this thing is everywhere.
Didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't get. Wow.
Yeah,
he's made
right
MSN.
All right.
Well done for this guy.
I mean, they basically just, you know, cut and pasted the story from its original source, whatever they grabbed it from. But, yeah.
So what I do.
Exactly. They are MSN, except for they credited the source.
All right. Hero.
No, what you do is call what we call plagiarism or, you know.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
So basically, to describe the truck, it's basically an actual ice cream truck that he has painted black, of course, with dark red seats. And he has, like, little stickers on the outside that look like he's selling ice cream. But at closer inspection, all of these stickers are of different ice cream treats are actually different band logos and stuff of that nature.
Ooh.
No ice cream is available for sale at any time. And he drives this, the story sells it like he just drives through his neighborhood trying to get kids to think they're going to get ice cream. And then he just kind of grins and drives slowly away, blasting, of course.
This truck sounds incredible. Can you give me a little more description, though, like from the band logos to just how this music blasts out so people can hear it?
Well, not too surprising. I didn't recognize a good amount of the band logos, but I know like the Misery Index was on there and American Head Charge. And, you know, I gave them some props for the creativity there. They're actually pretty convincing ice cream treats.
okay.
So there are two speakers on the outside on the front of the vehicle that is more for like for him to announce things of that
right.
nature.
Okay.
And then he has like just a regular stereo that with speakers loaded on the inside. And trust me, it's plenty loud, especially when he's got the driver doors open. Let me get into that a little bit because like I had to reach out to this guy. When this, I mean, if this was in Denver, I would have mandated, you know, Lewis, you got to go track this fucker down. Go up to Boulder and find out about this dude. But, yeah, so he lives about 20 minutes from my house. And we made arrangements to set up. And there will be a YouTube video interview with the guy, the full complete interview available. But as a bonus, I got to ride in the death metal ice cream truck. Like we're sitting there and you're so ingrained to put a seatbelt on nowadays. So it was very instant when I was like, so what do you do about seatbelts? Cause there are none. And it's like a ice cream truck with the doors wide open. You're basically, it's not like a window. It's the entire side of the vehicle that you could just fall out.
right. It's like a delivery truck or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Like a UPS truck. But,
Sure.
So the doors are open and it wasn't like we were whipping around or, holding on for dear life or anything like that. But yeah, it was glorious. When he turned the music on and I was just surrounded by, it really hit home and suddenly it all made sense. I was like, this is the best idea ever. But
some kind of pussy putting on a seatbelt in a death metal ice cream truck.
Exactly, man.
If you get on there,
he kind of looked at me that way, like pussy.
I know, like if you're on this thing and I stop short, you're going through the windshield like a fucking man.
Yeah, I have to admit, I think I kept having the feeling that I've actually ran into Matt at some event of some sort. I'm not sure what it would have been, but there was something very familiar about him. But look, like I said, the whole interview will be available when this episode is out on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, and we'll share that up and stuff. And he doesn't disappoint. He's, first of all, a really cool, laid-back guy. But he has a story of childhood trauma related to the ice cream man.
Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah, and that was the other thing, is that, like, so often I would notice that ice cream trucks were kind of jerks when they're supposed to be, like, these jolly guys.
Some hurt feelings from youth?
Oh, certainly. I actually have a scar on my wrist from bashing through a porch window because a ice cream man started leaving before I could get back to
Were you running through it?
Oh yeah, I had a deal with the guy that I would get into the house and back, and by the time I got back he was driving away, and I just started pounding on the window, and I pounded so hard I was like eight years old, and I pounded so hard that it just broke through the glass and cut my wrist.
And you've hated ice cream man ever since then, huh?
Yep.
How it all ties into to the build up to this. So, but I don't know what else to say about this man. He's just someone that basically has made the world a better place, if you ask me.
I just admire the whole concept of you can have. This sounds like a. Something that at 2 a.m. you just make a joke about at a bar, like having a death metal ice cream truck and doing exactly this. But I just admire the fact that he has taken a creative endeavor that is less profitable than ours. I mean, we don't plan on ever really monetizing this show, but he has a way of never having a profit deal ever. You know what I mean? Like he bought an ice cream truck. So he had to seek down an ice cream truck. He then bought black paint. He figured out to do these logos, and he's not selling anything. No. So he's that thing probably gets 5 miles to a gallon. What I mean?
And by the way, all the artwork on this thing from the logo is brilliant. I'll share that as well. But to describe it, it's like an ice cream cone, but at the top of the cone is like Viking horns coming out, and that's the entire back and top of the ice cream truck.
I think it's amazing. I mean, it's nothing but it's basically the equivalent of him driving around is when you drove around and you went to the sidewalk and somebody said, "What's your favorite COVID song?" And you wrote or album, and you wrote Slayer's "Rain and Blood" in chalk. That 50-year-old man doing this kind of thing, but that's his version of that. But he's just driving around.
You're really pushing me into that 5-0, aren't you?
I am. You're going in, buddy. And but like he's doing all this, but I gotta tell you. Here you go, Mr. Death Metal Truck Man. Start selling some vinyl out of that bitch. You get people there. The people, what is this all about? I don't have any ice cream, but I got a shitload of albums to sell you out of the back of my truck, bitch.
He does have something that he gives away that he keeps him back.
What's that?
Earplugs. So he's got a big box of earplugs.
Okay, that's good. If you go into neighborhoods, you start terrorizing. The police don't show up because they're busy with
the
riots.
Just throwing earplugs out on the sidewalk for the people.
Yeah.
It's like, just put these in and shut up.
No, you just go door to door. Here are some earplugs. I'm going to sell you. I will be driving by. You can buy these for $1.
Money with loose cannon. You are the Gene Simmons of the show.
That's correct. How do you monetize the death metal ice cream truck that doesn't sell ice cream? There are some ideas in general, but you know, I applaud this man.
I was disappointed because it doesn't sound like he actually hates children. I thought this could be like a hero for me and Joey Haney, who both hate children.
That's right.
But no, he was actually a really cool guy and all that stuff. But what do you think's a better investment? A death metal ice cream truck that doesn't sell ice cream, or maybe a timeshare?
If you're looking for a write-off for your taxes, either put down podcasting or this, and both things will definitely be a deduction, I think. And that is your tax tip of the week.
Nice. From Elsie. Yes. Elsie's tax tips.
Speaking of death metal, you want to listen to some rock radio from Canada?
Yeah, let's dial up and see what's going on the CGCM 365 radio. Well, you can find stuff like that and, I don't know, stuff like that and more at CGCM.com, radio, whatever it is. Go to their Facebook page, you'll find it. In all seriousness, congratulations to Rich and Wally Gator, of course, former colleagues of ours, but now they're basically mortal enemies.
Absolutely.
Having, especially now launching their own 24/7 Polka radio station, whatever the fuck they're playing there. But no, congrats, guys. Good luck with all this stuff. And yeah, if you really wanted to listen to just kind of like a, I don't know, I guess it would be Wally's thumb drive. Go ahead and tune
original
in, man. It's got to be better
title
than fucking hard rock radio right now.
True. But remember, and just for those not familiar, that those little acronyms stand for Canadian Geeks with Beers Chatting Metal. You got that?
Exactly. This has been fun, but I think it's time to get out of here. I should probably take a shower and... I have to go. I'm cat sitting for my daughter, so I have to run over to her house and feed their cat and bird.
It sounds like a full day.
Yeah,
and
then I got to come back and deal with this shit. But it's supposed to be wicked hot here today, really muggy. So it'd be a good time to sit in the basement and edit a podcast. I'm thinking.
Excellent. Get to it.
Anyway, you want to get out of here?
I do.
Rock's not dead,
but it kicked the can to 2025.
In sports, when they do the huddle and like, go team, go on three. They actually go on four every time.
Ooh.
They don't know. They go 1, 2, 3, go team, go. See, that's on three. It's you go 1, 2, go team, go is what you're doing.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's technical.